This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, we are cruising on this Wednesday edition of Money Moves VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. Coming up in 30 minutes, Sean Green of the Sports Gambling Podcast is going to join us. We're going to talk through Thursday night football as week one is set to kick off officially tomorrow. Eagles and Cowboys, maybe get some college football talk with him as well. We'll have plenty of college football this hour as well, including in 15 minutes, the first iteration of West Coast Bias.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm very excited about. We're going to get into some of those West Coast games that some of y'all on the other side of the country might not have as much interest in. But guess what? There could be money to be made. We're going to start with MLB, though, because we do have a couple games that are in action right now for inquiring minds as we go up here. The Washington Nationals up 7-4 on the Marlins. Tigers took the go-ahead run 3-2 over the Mets. And then we have one game that's also set to begin this hour. Rangers and Diamondbacks coming up here in about 30 minutes or so. Zach Gallen going for the home Arizona Diamondbacks, minus 126 favorites. Jack Leiter on the other side for Texas, plus 104 dogs. The run total there, 8.5. We are seeing some juice to the over, though, minus 122.
Yeah, I was shaking my head because my Mariners are falling apart at the seams. A paltry 1.5 game lead over the Texas Rangers now for the final American League wild card. So this is big. The Mariners can't keep anything together. The Rangers starting to string these wins together, and all of a sudden you're looking at something that seems pretty dangerous for a team that many thought, including myself, had wanted the trade deadline. But here you have this. Current prices right now in the market. Arizona floating around $1.20 favorite, and I would agree because we saw this open overnight at minus 135. You and I have discussed this quite a bit throughout the course of the Major League Baseball regular season, where there was this odd but it seemed that the market had some faith in Zach Gallen that was not founded in any sort of fact. He wasn't really returning that faith. What's ironic here is they are moving against him, even though we finally started to see what the market had been looking for. In his last six starts, Stormy, he's got a 2.57 ERA, 3.42 fielding independent. That's his all for Zach Gallen. But I say I agree with this because Jack Leiter's been really solid. If you look at what you've seen from him up to this point, recent sample size, a little bit longer than the one we're talking about for Gallen. Eight games started, the last eight, 2.61 ERA, 3.69 fielding independent. Leiter's been the more consistent of the two pitchers here. You look at Gallen as well, even if he reverts to the norm, if you will, because his fielding independent's floating around 4.5, that's just that. It's a pretty average to below average mark for fielding independent marks. He's still a dude that has issues with command, and I just don't really trust this six-game, six-start sample size that we have seen from him at this point. You look at some of the lineups he's faced, among them Cincinnati, Cleveland, Colorado, maybe kind of picking off some of these weaker lineups. He does deserve credit for what he's been able to do, but I still think that in there is the Zach Gallen, whose overlying numbers tell you that he's a pretty below-average pitcher. So I thought $1.35 was pretty expensive, especially when you look in the face of a team that needs this win, is in the throes of a wild-card race, and is playing as good a baseball as the Rangers have been with their guy out there. So I think the price is getting into the more correct zone. Would still lean a little bit more toward the Rangers if you're getting that like plus 110, which is starting to disappear. And even as I speak, some of the other spots are moving down even further. So I would expect this gets pretty close. I don't think all the way to pick, but it's going to continue to head in Texas direction.
And to that point, I would say you're better off going full game than F5 or F7 or anything like that, just because of the Diamondbacks bullpen, bottom five in Major League Baseball as well. They're not a group you can trust.
So for clarity to your dad, I like the Rangers here. Don't do that to me again.
Sorry about that.
I think he was being sarcastic. I think he was being sarcastic, which I would appreciate, by the way, as somebody who is very sarcastic himself.
We shall see. Okay, so that is your look ahead here. Reminder as well, everybody, if you miss any of the hour one of the program, which that is a callback to the start of the show, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. And if you're looking for a bank account built for bettors, Edge Boost is the place to go, ensuring any and all gambling transactions are approved. Edge Boost, no usage fees, no minimums. You get cash back rewards, 100% approval for any and all betting deposits as well. And when you sign up today at edgeboost.bet, use our promo code MONEY, deposit $25. Edge Boost will match that deposit for you. That's edgeboost.bet.
You know, we got a really big basketball game today. Turkey, Serbia going at it.
Why?
It's Nikola Jokic versus Alperen Şengün.
I don't, like, I didn't even know this was going on.
Eurobasket.
Until you talked to me the other day.
Come on.
Like, and you're just like, oh, yeah, you're pulling up highlights on your laptop.
That's right.
Do you not have enough going on right now?
No.
Like, what are we
talking? Well, it's not like I'm watching them.
You do know you have kids, too. We've got college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball underway. You're prepping for the NBA betting guide. You have children and a wife and a life, and yet you're over here watching Eurobasketball while we're on the air, mind you.
I'm not watching it. I'm just keeping track of it because I do have to pay for some service, like, to really watch it, so I'm not really going to do that. By the way, rest in peace to all of you out there. I don't know if you saw the news. It was reported by The Athletic that the largest illegal streaming site on the internet was shut down finally after a year-long investigation.
Oh, bummer. Yeah,
big bummer.
Bummer. Is that spoken from somebody who used it often?
No, I was a big Crack Streams guy. Streams with a Z, yeah. As we know. So that was where I got all of my illegal streams, when I did it allegedly.
So I know next segment we're going to get into some of those West Coast games that maybe aren't being talked about enough, but there are a handful of games you thought were floating under the radar, cross country in general as well. One of those regarding Central Michigan. You want to tell us why?
Yes. Okay. So we watched over the weekend that Central Michigan went to San Jose, got a really strong win outright as about a 14-point underdog against San Jose State. So it's a pretty big loss for the Spartans. We'll talk about them maybe in a little bit. But what I thought was really interesting was watching Central Michigan. So Matt Drinkaw comes in, takes over as head coach for the program for Central Michigan. He had been, for those who are really familiar with him, the last 6 years, he was an assistant coach, offensive line coach, and co-offensive coordinator on Jeff Monken's staff at Army. So I thought you saw some of those principles there for Central Michigan in that game against San Jose State. And I actually kind of liked it. Like, the metrics were solid. It wasn't a fluky win. The team offensively looked pretty threatening, I think, in certain situations where you're maybe not ready for it. So now we talk about what they have coming up next, which is Pitt. Well, Pitt next week, I believe, has West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So this might be a little bit of a look-ahead spot against a team that might be somewhat difficult to prepare for. When you look at the way they run their offense, I think that Central Michigan might be a sneaky spot here to come in and snag a pretty big number. Now, there's some 23.5s out there, so I want to see if maybe this gets up to 24. But I'm as impressed as you can be for a Central Michigan win on the road against San Jose State. But I think more importantly, I do wonder if some of these concepts for this offense leak into the territory of not fully having to get ready for a full option attack on a week-to-week basis, but just a unique offense that's going to be very run-heavy as you now kind of look to the side and realize that you got your big rivalry spot coming up here in a week.
Yeah, and as we were talking about earlier, that those are concepts that you don't practice a lot in fall camp because mm-hmm. it's not something that you see often. You're not going to see that on your typical ACC schedule if you're Pitt, right? And coming off of that blowout game against an FCS team, and you're looking ahead to your point against a big, important game for you from a rivalry standpoint, I think all of that makes sense. I would like to see it creep up a little bit more, though, like get as many points as humanly possible on that, because I think from the outside looking in, people are going to go, oh, they should dominate this team.
Yep, and for those who didn't see it or know, they ran the ball 50 times for 247 yards against San Jose State, only threw the ball 13 times. So, again, you kind of see that concept mm-hmm. of at least a really run-heavy attack. Now, I think there's some downsides to it. There was a couple of third and longs where they decided to just try to run it as opposed to maybe go and try to, you know, throw for it when you're a little bit longer. But either way, and that led to, by the way, 2 of 13 on third down. So it wasn't all beautiful for Central Michigan. But I just thought it was a unique spot to maybe circle or watch. And these are the things you're kind of looking for, right? We were a little behind on Central Michigan maybe being this formidable team, and they caught San Jose State sleeping. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can stay instead of a number like this with the way that they play.
Nari Biggins and Trey Cornist combining for 200 yards between the two of them rushing in that one. Also, San Jose State just needs to figure out their kicking situation, missed two late field goal attempts, and obviously they lose 16-14.
The second was blocked-ish, so there's that, but the first one, I think it was like a 33-yarder to attempt to take the lead with like a minute left, wasn't close.
Huge number against Texas this week. That game, San Jose State getting the ABC treatment this week against
the Longhorns. So you expressed surprise at that. We were talking about that. Do you think that should be higher? If there's going to be that, hey, week two, let's exercise some of these demons.
Yeah.
It would be this one.
You would think. And this defense, one of these is not like the other compared to what you just saw from Ohio State.
So the there's a lot of different metrics you can put out there and look at to kind of get an idea of where a game was. Parker Fleming, who does a great job, he tweets this out every week after all the games are done. He calls it, did we really get beat that bad? Essentially, it's net success rate in for every single week. And it gives you an idea, essentially, of just in the most basic sense, how bad were you really beat? Texas was actually, if you look at it, near the bottom of the in a positive way, near the bottom of the list. In other words, they probably shouldn't have been beat if everything was going correctly for them. And that's not to say that they should have won the game. The whole point here is saying that they played better than we thought and what the final score indicated. Their defense was really good. Ohio State averaged, what, like 3 yards a play, something like that in that game? That defense should be able to swallow up this offense. I think Walker Egitt stinks as strong. I won't say that. I don't think he's as good as the initial thought was. To then now go on the road and have this team that's foaming at the mouth to get a win, and after everything we heard, Arch Manning stinks, it's all over. I don't know.
I think the phrase you used, exercising some demons, is so well put, because I am in complete agreement with you. Also, we've only got about 60 seconds before the break, and we'll talk about Michigan-Oklahoma later on in the hour, but you rewatched some of that Michigan performance and were very impressed with Bryce Underwood.
Yes, I watched it this morning, and I thought Underwood was very good. There were some really good throws that he made, a couple of key drops on third downs. I would not freak out too much about Michigan's defensive performance. The touchdown drive they gave up in the third quarter, very much boosted for New Mexico by a sideline pass that was actually incomplete and a sack that was actually called targeting. You look at their first drive too, a couple of trick plays that Michigan wasn't ready for, including the really sick touchdown throw that the Lobos had. They completely outplayed that team, absolutely dominated them, and Underwood made some really nice throws. Going back to what we've talked about here, we'll have more on in the best bets, but I think the market's a little wrong in upgrading Oklahoma or downgrading Michigan from that performance.
Well, and this number's all over the place now, too. It's been bouncing around from 3.5 at open, as we talked about, to as high as 6.5. I'm looking right now, 4.5 at DraftKings, mostly 5s out there, but still 5.5 available. So shop around depending on which side of that game you are on. Okay, we're going to step aside when we come back, continuing the college football talk. West Coast bias, baby, coming up next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250.
Back here on Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in, by the way, on social media. And if you ever do want to tweet at the show, we don't take calls, but we do take tweets, and tweet at us at BJVT, at Storm Bonantoni.
There was a weekend way back in the lore of VSiN when we had a setup that we were testing to take callers. And we did, for a weekend show, take callers one time.
And then what happened?
It was just a bunch of, hey, do you like this? And so it didn't really pan out as it tends to happen, which is just like, it was just, hey, humans, do you like this? So there was a time.
That checks for a betting network. Yeah. But Chris Vaselli, our good friend of the show, he chimed in after our conversation about Kansas and why not Wednesday at Mizzou this week, said, I am so in on Kansas. Great minds, which we appreciate. And Brian M., I don't know why you got to keep pumping him up, but he says that you are actually being extremely responsible watching Euro basketball because you're just prepping. You're just prepping for the NFL, the NBA season. This is very important to you.
Alperen Şengün in half, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 of 4 from inside the arc, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. Phil, though, checks in. You'll be more down with this. We were talking about how you very quietly have, I think, a lot of rage that you don't really express outwardly. But your annoyance with people who congregate at the top of an escalator or at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Phil checks in with, how about when people don't let you get out of the elevator? That's always a good one, too.
Yes.
When they're always when they're always just in the door.
Or like a tram, right? Yeah. Like, obviously, people have to get off of the tram before you can get on. It's just general common sense rules that I feel like we should all abide by as human beings in society, yet for some reason.
My favorite about the elevator incidents are the shock that is expressed on the faces of the people that are jammed at the door waiting for it to open. Like, oh, there's people in here. Like, yeah, it's generally how it works.
Yeah, the elevator go up and down, doors open. It's amazing. It's a technological advancements here in the USA, which let's get into a little more college football here. Because, listen, we know East Coast bias is a thing. Yes. We hear about it all the time. We out here in the Pacific time zone, we're getting a little sick of it. So we're going to have a little West Coast bias conversation here, which I think makes sense for us with our Mountain West roots. We had a love of the Pac-12 in its prior existence and still for the programs that are in it. And I guess we'll be moving forward, too. But listen,
speak for yourself on that.
I might be extremely biased as somebody who covers a lot of the night games specifically for ESPN out here, the 7:30 Pacific time kicks where all of you East Coasters are asleep. But we're going to get to it all because you might be missing some good games or some good betting opportunities. Right?
Yes, they missed a good one on Saturday when you were stock at the sidelines for Cal Oregon State.
Let's go.
A lot of people were saying that nobody watched, but I did.
You know how depressing it is, ladies and gentlemen, when you read an article that's talking about, like, the quarterback performance nobody watched and you missed out. I'm like, thanks for that. You know, just only my first game of the season. Neither here nor there. Congrats to Jaren Sangapuulele for the work that he did. Which game do you want to hop into here first? Because there are a lot of them, and that was rude. But go on.
All right, let's go with – can we do this? Because also, one, because I sent this in, but two, because I think this is one of the more interesting matchups, and I have a question. Yeah, so Hawaii and Sam Houston, we're down to 6.5 at a couple of spots, total 47.5. A lot of sevens still out there.
Sign open 9.5.
Yes, so there are questions about Mike Alahato, who did not finish the game against Arizona over the weekend. He went into it injured. As well, we don't have to play it if we don't have it, but the whole question here is just whether or not he's healthy. So I wanted to bring this up for a couple of reasons. The first of which is, and tell me if I'm doing this game wrong, 2 weeks ago in week zero, Hawaii closed as about a 1.5-2 point favorite against Stanford. Here they are at home with a maybe not fully healthy and or backup quarterback against Sam Houston. And we're laying 6.5, 7. Here's Timmy Chang. You're going to see some footage from Alahato at practice, too, talking about the injury and what they tried to do with him last week.
He didn't practice today, and we're going to see how it progresses. You know, he did get stepped on during the game. Kid's a warrior, kid's a fighter. So if he has an opportunity to play, we would love for him to play. When your guy has the heart of a warrior like he does, you know, you give him a goal. And then, you know, when we looked at it, he looked – He really understood the game plan. He understood what we were trying to do.
For our radio audience, he's walking around in a walking boot.
Yeah, a big one.
Did not look comfortable.
No.
Got on a stationary bike at one point, apparently. Yep. That's all he did. That doesn't give me confidence, especially when you look at their JUCO transfer, Luke Weaver, who stepped in for him and has been taking first-team reps, who went 8 of 16 for 66 yards, 2 picks, and a lost fumble with no tutties.
I might want Mike Alahato on one of those little scooters as opposed to Luke Weaver in this game. Seriously, that was bad.
It's rough.
It was really rough.
And listen, and Sam Houston's bad. They're like a bottom 11 team in FPI. I've seen some teams that have them as even lower. And for reference, there's only 136 teams.
Yeah.
I
go back to Stanford.
Good,
like Stanford is not one of – they're widely considered to be maybe one of the worst programs out there too.
Yeah.
And so is Stanford really – 6 points better than this team, the Sam Houston team? I watched the UNLV game, unfortunately, in depth. Sam Houston did a pretty good job. They left some opportunities out there against what looks like is a somewhat porous defense that UNLV has. I understand it's a tough trip, but this is already the third game that Hawaii's playing. I don't know. So for full disclosure, I took a better number here earlier. Okay. We talked about this yesterday. I took 7, but I think this is one of the more interesting games, not only because it's our classic, hey, late night game, let's get into it and watch this, but it's also one of the more intriguing quarterback injury stories. And I think from a point spread perspective, it's fascinating too, because this team was just a two-point favorite against Stanford, and Stanford put up statistically one of the worst passing performances you're ever going to see, and they almost won the game. And yet here Hawaii is maybe on their backup quarterback or a one-legged starter laying a touchdown.
How about San Diego State, Washington State? So Wazoo opened 3-point favorites. We're down to 1.5. South Point here in town, I still see a 2, but those are largely gone. After they struggled to a 13-10 win over Idaho, John Mateer ain't walking back through those doors. What's weird to me about Washington State, and I'm curious your opinion on this. So Zevi Eckhouse, Everyone in their mother, as far as I was concerned, thought he was going to be the starting
including
quarterback.
Including the guide who I may or may not have written in Washington State.
Like, right? Like, he was not. Jimmy Rogers named Jackson Potter QB1. They also put in Julian Duggar for a handful of snaps. No clear reason why. They put out the week 2 depth chart this week, and Eckhouse is QB3 on this list. And I listened to Rogers at the podium Monday when asked about it. He said it was a really close race. It wasn't really what Zevi isn't. It's more about what Potter was doing, right? It's been a battle and will continue to be a battle because that's what competition is at practice. Zevi is preparing like he's going to play every game. And that has been my push for him. You define your circumstance. You don't let your circumstance define you.
I don't know. I thought it was.
I was stunned by this.
I mean, I'm with you. I think it's a good catch because I noticed that he didn't start, but I didn't see the whole thing with the depth chart. And it comes off of now building on it, a performance in which this offense was awful against Idaho. You had to drive down the field in the last minute to get a game-winning field goal. And I will point out, many might say, well, we saw Idaho do this last year. Now, all those dudes now play for New Mexico.
That's a good pull, yeah.
Yes, their head coach and all of those dudes all went to New Mexico, and they just played in Ann Arbor against Michigan. So this is not the same group that was pushing Oregon last year. This is a whole new program. So the state of Washington's offense, what this looks like, the poor quarterback play that they got, and maybe controversy, if you will, of what that is going to look like. I feel like Potter's probably going to get it in terms of just, hey, this is still going to be our guy. But it was not expected. I'm with you. They were awful on third downs.
3 of 12.
Yep. They had 211 total yards, as you mentioned. And I just, your team, I understand initially you could have gotten 6.5s. They're still small dogs in some spot. But I think I'm pretty tempted. We talked about this. You handled your business against Stony Brook. You ran for 228 yards. You averaged over 4 yards a carry. Your yards per pass were pretty effective. The offense operated the way that it should. Am I really supposed to trust Washington State here in a spot after they just scuffled with Idaho?
Well, so, and like we talked about with Stony Brook, should SDSU win and cover as an 18.5-point favorite against that program? Absolutely. But to put up a 42-0 spot, defense didn't even allow 100 yards of total offense. Yeah. Yes, it's an FCS opponent, but I think especially for your defense that returned so many starters and you were looking to see what you were going to get at quarterback as well from your Michigan transfer, like all of those things really came together for them. And yeah, I do like them in this spot, and that defense in particular against a Washington State team, that offense looked bad. The offensive line in particular, They're working in 3 new starters, but even the vets looked bad.
Yep.
So I think advantage San Diego State in a lot of ways here. Money line, even money price for them, but you get the 1.5 still available. I could see this continue to move a little bit going into the weekend.
Yeah. I'll point out really quick, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, but I am all of a sudden all in. I saw Dan Lanning's comments last night. I am so in on Oregon and Oklahoma State. And I'll just say this.
Let's talk about this more at the end of the
Okay, because I just want to say really quickly, if given the opportunity, we saw last year in the first half against Colorado, Dan Lanning will do it. He will put the foot on the gas and try to at least run up a score in the early going of a contest.
If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. We spend to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't. In response to Mike Gundy's comments about how much Oregon pays for their program. So we'll talk about that game a little bit more later on. Coming up, Sean Green, Sports Gambling Podcast, joins us. Get into Thursday Night Football and a whole lot more. Where is his money this weekend? We'll be back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Running out to get involved in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest. You think you're better than the experts. Time to put it to the test. It's the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with the pros, which, by the way, all of those names have been determined now. But the top average Joe earns a spot in next year's 25 Pro Circa Invitational Field. Free to play. You can register anytime during the season as well to be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. Plus, each week, the highest score gets a $500 Edge Boost deposit. And if the weekly winner already has an Edge Boost account, that prize gets boosted up to $1,000. Make sure you're eligible. Sign up at edgeboost.bet. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, or you can enter at VSIN.com/Joe. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Money Moves, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Week 1 upon us, getting underway tomorrow with Thursday Night Football, Cowboys, Eagles, to help us break down that game and the Week 1 slate. Sean Green joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Sports Gambling Podcast, co-founder of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can also catch him live Fridays here on VSIN. Follow him on X at Sean T. Green. And let's jump right in to Thursday Night Football. We've seen this line go all over the place, especially with the news Micah Parsons will not be on that defense for Dallas, sitting mostly 8, 8.5 right now in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles. What side do you sit on?
Well, you know, obviously I am insanely biased, but even my insane bias aside, go Birds, this is just a smash spot for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're raising the banner at home. Teams, you know, in this spot have been great ATS in general. And I just look at the matchups. I mean, the Cowboys, they were right. Jerry Jones was right. They have trouble stopping the run. And, oh, by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles still have Saquon Barkley. They still have a very good offensive line. Landon Dickerson was a full practice today. He looks good to go, and they're just going to be able to run it down this Cowboys throat. And then on the other side, how do the Cowboys get the running game going? You're going to rely on Javonte Williams and that offensive line. And so if you have a one-dimensional offense with the Dallas Cowboys, you have Brian Schottenheimer, a new head coach who even Jerry Jones was throwing shade at him during the intro press conference. It's hard to make a case for the Cowboys. I think if you're a person who just looks at the line movement, okay, sure. It was 6.5, and me and my fellow Sharps, of course, pounded the Eagles when it was 6.5. I still like it here at 8 over at Circa, 8.5 over at DK. They're going to win by double digits. They're going to roll here. And I think this Eagles team, even though they're coming off the Super Bowl win, they have a chip on their shoulder. So a big night Thursday night, and Eagles get it done.
So two-part question. You kind of answered one of them. Would you play some alternate lines? You know, if you think they're going to cover 8.5, would you go up to like 13.5? Would you play anything like that? And does the effect of hanging the banner get negated by the fact that aren't they reportedly staying in the locker room? They don't want to see this.
Yeah, no, they've kind of not acknowledged the Super Bowl. They're saying, hey, we're moving on. They don't talk about, hey, we're defending the title. A.J. Brown had a line about, you know, the Lombardi, she's a fickle mistress. So it seems like they're doing everything they can to avoid, oh, hey, we're the Super Bowl champs. You know, we're worried about the hangover. And yeah, I think an alt line up to 13.5. Anything under 14 points, I think, is good. The last game they played, they were up 34-0 on the Chiefs on a neutral field. This defense is still very good. Yeah, they lost Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, but I'm very high on some of the young defensive linemen they have. It's a great opportunity for Nolan Smith if you want another prop. I do like Nolan Smith to get a sack against this Cowboys offensive line. I think he has a nice game, good matchup here coming into it. And then going back to the Cowboys offensive line, left tackle Guyton, who didn't seem like he was going to play. Now he is going to play. I can't imagine he's 100% going up against this Eagles D line.
Because you do mention prop market, how much do you go into props for week one? Is it full send? Are you managing a little bit more carefully with the unknowns? How do you approach it? And are there any other ones in this game you were targeting?
Managing carefully was never described my betting strategy, Stormy. So I'm full send. It's NFL week one. I have this like anxiety almost when Christmas happens, where you have it on the calendar for so long, but then it's, you know, now it's essentially Christmas Eve and I'm like, how am I shopping? Did I get it all done? So yeah, I will try and manage myself, but I know myself. There's a lot of good spots, and we'll start with the first touchdown market. Jahan Dotson, man, did he get close to hitting that first touchdown in the Super Bowl. His price then was like 95-1 over at the Circa. I was going nuts because the referee standing right over the play put both hands up for the first touchdown. I'm going nuts losing it at the Super Bowl party. Of course, they reverse it. It reminded me of 2 years ago when I had Kenny Gainwell first touchdown, and he got in. Then they reversed it. Of course, Hurts with the tush push. You want to go Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown? Earlier on in the season, it was minus 115. It's out to minus 150 a lot of places. That's still a good bet. But Jahan Dotson, who will be out there on almost all the snaps, he had the first touchdown in the Packers playoff game. He almost had the first touchdown against the Super Bowl. And he spent a lot of time with Jalen Hurts in the offseason. He's 35-1. So I think as far as a long shot first touchdown bet, Jahan Dotson is what I'm riding with.
All right, let's go to a couple of other matchups we're going to have for week one. We fast forward to Monday, Minnesota on the road, a short favorite against Chicago, total of 44. What are you doing here?
I'm all over the dogs. Give me the Chicago Bears, 23-7 ATS division dogs are a crazy run here. And then I get it. I've argued with Vikings fans all summer long that J.J. McCarthy is not a rookie. But for me, if you haven't played in the NFL, I consider you a rookie. Call me crazy. And now you have a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start, and he's a road favorite against a division rival. I just think I get it, the Vikings roster, et cetera. But, you know, you have a new head coach here in Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson had a lot of success against the Minnesota Vikings defense. I think he's going to be able to scheme up some easy wins for Caleb Williams. And I am high on J.J. McCarthy long term as a prospect. But you look at this game in particular and just the rest of his early start, I think he's going to get off to a little bumpy start. And I could see some turnovers in his future. I think that's going to end up being the difference in this game, is J.J. McCarthy being a little loose with the football. So I like Chicago Bears here as a home dog. I think they opened up in the offseason as a home favorite, and people just keep steaming the Vikings. I'm a little more cautious on the Vikings. I'm looking to fade them in the win total market, and I do like the Bears to get it done here. Give me the 1.5 just in case, I guess, but they're live on the money line as well.
And to your point about Caleb Williams in that Ben Johnson system, limited sample size, obviously, from what we got to see in the preseason, but it did look good when he was out there. How about this Giants-Commanders game? Let's go back to the NFC East. 6-point spread with Washington favored there. Jaden Daniels coming off the historic rookie season that he had. Then on the other side, our first look at Russell Wilson in a Giants uniform. What stood out to you about this matchup?
Danger Russ. I mean, hopefully my co-host isn't listening, because it really pains me to compliment the New York Giants. But they do have a very good defensive line, starting with the new pick there, Abdul Carter, the kid out of Penn State. And I am of the age where I can refer to young draft picks as kids. I'm getting up there. But I think this New York Giants D-line is going to be very competitive against the Washington Commanders offensive line. But, you know, they're dealing with some injuries. They were a little suspect to begin with. You look at what they did in the offseason. It's a very old Commanders roster. And they have a look-ahead spot already here, which is kind of crazy to think, oh, you're looking ahead week one. But, you know, look at some of these teams. Obviously, Bengals last year, looking ahead probably to the Chiefs the following game. The Washington Commanders have a Thursday night spot against the Green Bay Packers. Meanwhile, the Giants lost both games against the Commanders. They were pretty fortunate, I think, the Commanders. You know, they got a win without scoring a touchdown against the Giants. The Giants historically have done very well against the Commanders. Like, that's the one team that Daboll has had success beating them in division. I think this ends up kind of being a little bit of an ugly game, thanks in part to the Giants' defensive line. I think they keep it close. I think 6 points for an NFC East game is just way too much.
All right, last 90 seconds with you here. Let's go to college football really quickly. The Cy Hawk Trophy is up for grabs. What do you make of Iowa State?
Yeah, as much as Rocco Beck, I like what I've seen out of him so far, and cashed a nice ticket for me against Kansas State over there in Ireland. One, fading teams off this Ireland trip. I mean, look at what Kansas State did week two. Now, obviously, Iowa State did it, got it done last week, but I think anytime you're getting 3 points in this Iowa State game, the last three out of the five games have been decided by 3 points. I think Iowa has revenge on their mind. I was on Iowa last year. I still don't know how they lost that game. So you're giving Iowa 3 points. I think that's way too much. This game is going to come down to a field goal. I'd love getting the 3 points here with Iowa. And for some reason, the road team has always done better in these matchups.
Yeah. I was going to say, last 5 years, the road team has gone on to win it. What do you think of Mark Gronkowski, though? I was so high on him before the season, and then he had 44 yards passing week one. Did not make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, not a breakout spot for Gronkowski. But again, I know people are excited about the Iowa offense. This is just, it's Iowa State. 3 points is enough to get it done. It could be an ugly 17-16 type game. We've seen a bunch of those historically. Maybe 21-20. But yeah, certainly not promising of Gronkowski game one. But this game doesn't, quarterbacks don't matter in Iowa State. This is all about playing the dog, playing the road dog here.
It's still an Iowa offense at the end of the day, no matter who you put at quarterback, apparently. Sean, thank you so much for the time, buddy. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man.
Sean Green, everybody. Make sure you check out Sports Gambling Podcast, Sports Gambling Podcast Network, all that great stuff. And, of course, live on VSiN each and every Friday. We're going to step aside. More best bets coming up as we close out the hour. And one of those West Coast bias games we didn't touch on that deserves a little more attention. We'll be back next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lots of talk from head coaches in college football this week as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's not just Brian Kelly and Dabo trading barbs either. We mentioned earlier as we were getting into some of our West Coast bias games, Oklahoma State, Oregon, Gundy and Dan Lanning going head-to-head here. So for anyone who missed it, Mike Gundy was on his weekly radio show talking about the matchup with Oregon and how much they're paying for their roster, that they shouldn't be playing teams, or excuse me, that they should be playing teams with similar budgets. Mm-hmm. Dan Lanning hits back with an, I'm sure UT Martin didn't have the same budget as them last week, which we both loved. And then another punch, if you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. We spend to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't.
I think the UT Martin line is actually the more brilliant of that entire answer. It's
all great, though, by Lanning.
Oh, it's all tremendous. Don't worry.
If you're looking for motivation, Dan, you found it.
And I mean, I will invoke one more time. Remember last year, Colorado and that whole thing? That was last year or 2 years ago when they blew him out in the first half. Was that 2 years ago?
I think it was two years ago.
Wow, time goes by quick. Either way, you know, Lanning's got it in him to put the foot on the gas, if you will, against the guys he doesn't like. And I thought the UT Martin line was brilliant because, of course, the calling out the hypocrisy of you trying to complain about money and taking on people with similar payrolls when you just tried to wax UT Martin in that fashion. I'm now very much looking forward to what Dan Lanning has in store for Oklahoma State.
What did he say? Now I'm trying to, like, remember back. Because I know he's like we play
room?
On grass.
Yeah, so I can't remember what it was.
This game's not played in Hollywood. Something like that. But it was good.
On the internet or, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was pretty good.
We play for clicks. All those things. It's great.
Could you do a good pregame speech?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, I could. Yeah, we could. We should.
My voice is way too high pitched for a tough knock him down drag.
When you get excited, does it get higher?
Yes, it's so bad. It's embarrassing. So we look at this line though, and it is going in Oregon's favor.
Yeah.
Was 27.5. Has been sitting 28.5. Now there's a 29.5. out there at an offshore spot. So, like, it keeps going toward Oregon. Where do you think this thing lands Saturday?
Probably here. Because once you get to that, like, 29-ish range, if it continues to climb, you're kind of in a really dead area. And it's not like 31's a super key number, but it's at least a number which you can see when you're talking about a football score. So I think I'm sure it probably just floats around here, unless there's a real big push to go and get Okie State, which I think that probably would have happened already. So I'm going to go on a limb and just say they close about like 29-point favorites. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy.
I think that's fair, and I kind of lean Oregon. Yeah. I get why the market's leaning in that direction. I do think Oklahoma State defensively is good enough to hold up, would need to perform at the line of scrimmage, create a little confusion for Dante Moore potentially because jury's still out ultimately on what he's going to be. But the question is, can the offense stay out on the field long enough for the defense to catch their breath and have their legs under them? That I'm not so sure. Haas Haney won the job, broke his foot in the first quarter last week. So redshirt freshman Zane Flores stepped in to play the rest of the game, was 13 to 20 for 136 yards. Now he's going to make his first start at Autzen Stadium.
And Oregon, I've been one during the offseason to kind of in the big picture say, I don't know about Oregon, especially in the Big Ten. I will say that there's one thing you know about Oregon. They can rush the passer. And so that is going to be, for Flores, a really big thing. If you're trailing and then in a position where you just have to drop back as a backup quarterback making your start here, that is a situation that does not bode well for Oklahoma State at all.
They could be one of the elite defenses in college football.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Total 57.5 in this one. Again, 28.5, the prevailing number across the board for that game. Okay, it is time for our best bets of the day, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Remember, GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saves you 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you get 1% cashback on eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. What did you add to the portfolio today?
I know our wonderful producer Brian Ortega put together a visual of this, and I added a couple of others as well during the show. So this is for the weekend coming up that we have graphically here. Jets plus three is what we've been sitting on for a while. College football, UCLA minus two at UNLV, Sam Houston plus seven. The addition for today is Michigan plus five at Oklahoma. I'm going to test my theory here. I watched Underwood. I thought he played very well. The arm is live. The athleticism is there if they're going to start to unlock that a little bit more too. I think that when you go back and actually look at the performance against New Mexico, I'm actually not that worried anymore. New Mexico's two touchdown drives had a lot of noise in them. A long completion for 20 yards that was actually incomplete but never really called, and they got to the ball really quickly. A pass interference call, a targeting call, all of these things really helping out, and some really actually nice trick plays that New Mexico deserves some credit for. But in the end, they were dominated by Michigan from tip to tail in that game. And I don't think that this team is worth downgrading. I still think that them and Oklahoma are near equals to one another. So I'll take five with Michigan because I don't think we're going to get back to six. I think the market really saw that and was like, yeah, let's pump the brakes there and cut that back down to where we're at right now.
I agree too, but I do wonder, and I brought this up to you when we were doing our initial preview of this game yesterday, is there any concern for what Brent Venables can throw at this young quarterback defensively compared to what a team like New Mexico did?
I think potentially there is, but when you look at some of the numbers and when I was watching, their ground game was very solid.
He passed your eye test, though, with fly colors.
And he was great off play action. So you're going to be able to, I think, kind of work with that a little bit more. I really trust in this and the ability for them to do it. I'd also say, too, Michigan, the one thing I do want to see that's a little bit better, they kicked a field goal. They kicked a 21-yard field goal on fourth and goal from, like, the 2-yard line or whatever. You do the math. Mm-hmm. They had a really short fourth down near midfield that they elected to punt on as well against New Mexico, where they could have just lined up and driven it down their throat and gotten a first down. So there was also some conservative nature for Michigan in this game, too, that did not lead to what could have been a pretty lopsided score as well against New Mexico. So we'll see. Maybe Venables can, but I kind of trust. And you and I were talking about this, too. I haven't had my eyes on the game yet, but just looking at it from a box score standpoint and some of the underlying metrics from it, was it overtly impressive against Illinois State for Oklahoma? It didn't seem like that was the case.
Oklahoma fans didn't seem to like it. And so that's the thing. Like, I was looking at Mateer's numbers, and if you just go surface level, like, okay, yeah. I mean, he threw for nearly 400 yards, four total touchdowns. Like, that seems like an awesome day. Mm-hmm. Yet Oklahoma fans and people like that were watching that game intently were not overly impressed with what he put out there on the field. So yep. Maybe that's something for consideration. The only game that I put in yesterday was, I'm on Iowa State. I know Sean Green came in and I completely understand his thought process. The road team in this game has won the last five straight. We always seem to have a field goal game with two teams that really, really hate each other. And I imagine it'll be a closely contested one. That said, I like Rocco Becht, and I think that I had him and this Iowa State team a little bit underrated for what they're going to be. And I feel like they should be able to handle business in Ames in this spot. So I rolled with laying the three with Iowa State. And then we talked in Why Not Wednesday about this Kansas-Mizzou game, and in a game that I also think is going to be closely contested and probably pretty back and forth, riding with Jalen Daniels getting nearly a touchdown. And I wanted your opinion on this, that we haven't seen that number move at all, really, one way or another.
The Cardinals one?
No, the the Kansas.
Oh.
Kansas-Missouri.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty interesting, too, because I have talked to people who bet those openers and shape the market in. There seems to be a strong belief in Missouri, so I am somewhat surprised that we've reached, to use a Josh Applebaum term, a line freeze.
I would have liked to have gotten seven, yeah, but I don't know if we're going to get there just because of the lack of movement that we've seen to this point. So, but we talked a lot about Jalen Daniels the other day. I feel like they should be able to keep this within a touchdown, I even said it plus 200, a little sprinkle on the money line I don't hate.
Can I, so we had our graphics, our wonderful graphics. I did add a couple of late bloomers here, if you will.
All right, where are we going?
College. Let's start NFL first. We're going in. The hook has been added across the board. Sharp teeth and claws, baby. Row, row, row.
Carolina
Panthers. Let's go. Plus 3.5. I know Ike Iguanu probably not going to play in this game, but this was a team in Jacksonville that was 31st in defensive EPA last year. I don't know if they're making that massive climb. I'm a believer in Bryce Young. If you're going to give me that hook, we talked about that if that's going to be the case, I'll take a shot just waiting for it, and that is ultimately the case. And the other, again, you talk about just kind of jumping in here. We talked about this yesterday. It seemed pretty short. It's heading toward the key number-ish. So I will dive in and believe that Chapel Bill can turn it around. You talk about bloodlettings, exercising demons. Charlotte better watch out, because I'm sure that this is a performance in which North Carolina will do this. Initially, it was 19. Now it got down to 12.5. I'll lay 13.5.
Yeah, I know that you've been bouncing off some of the contest plays that you want to use at the Westgate this week.
Did I include that?
That was one that we talked about. LSU taking on Louisiana Tech in that sandwich spot with the big game against Florida coming up. Like, there's some potential.
Kind of like that.
What do we say that with Josh Applebaum? Like, the hold your nose plays? Like, that's kind of what both of those – the hazmat suit play, that's what that feels like. But I like that you took the 3.5 with the other Carolina as well.
Carolina Panthers.
Sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football. Yes, you're welcome, world. Look at you. You nailed that.
I knew that. I knew. When you showed it to me again, I was like, oh, yeah, dude, I love that. Yeah.
All right, that's a wrap for this Wednesday edition of Money Moves. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard coming up next with Follow the Money. Sal Powell on deck as well with the program. Same for our guy, Mike Palm. We'll be right back. Have a great day, everybody.
We won't.
I mean, not us.